So my name is Brian Keith. I'm wearing two hats there for the Church Ambassadors Network with Family Foundation, but really I'm here to serve the Blue Ridge Presbytery as the pastor for pastoral care. How do we love our pastors and helping meet their needs in family and marriage? Sabbaticals are wonderful because most of the time we hear more that they're exhausted. How do we help strengthen them, pray for them? I get to meet with them. It is a privilege to know our pastors, about 61 of them in our presbytery and 21 churches. So we're grateful for the work that God's doing in each of the churches and each of the pastors, their families, their congregations, for His glory. So it is a privilege. So I grew up in Roanoke, Virginia. I married Tracy Webb Keith now of 33 years this October with two daughters. Tracy's in California right now visiting her sister and her niece, our grandniece, who's been in the hospital for 73 days, and she got to come home last night from the NICU. So we celebrate life in the preciousness that we see. It's amazing work that God's doing. I have two daughters, Grace and Kelly, and both of those daughters being best friends married two Camerons who are best friends. So my son-in-laws are two Camerons, and they're amazing, wonderful, godly men leading our daughters in the understanding of the scripture and the love. So one set, Cameron and Grace, live in Knoxville. Kelly and Cameron live in Martinsville. So it's a wonderful time with them and the work that God's doing. So let me pray again and just focus our time. Lord, these are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, help us rest in you. Help us to know the truth of your word, that we would sing of your glory continuously, that you would apply your word to our hearts, our lives, that we would see the transformation of the gospel by your mercy and love, that we walk with you and to share with you. So Lord, blessings upon now this your preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is sort of the spy thriller, as we've already sort of touched on, as we look at Rahab's life. Joshua is the next commander-in-chief, taking over after Moses. They've already conquered a couple cities in the work there. So this is the mission impossible that God's going to do. And start out, and we haven't gotten to the conquest of all that, but just looking at Rahab. If you want to follow along in your handout that's in your bulletin, that might help you stay focused. And that way, there's just fill-in words for each of the points that I have here. But this mission impossible, but the grace in Rahab's life that redeems the unlikely, who she is and what God's doing. That's amazing. So I would like, because I don't want us to get too weary, but to stand for the reading of God's word that's also in your bulletin, and I'll read along for you. Joshua chapter 2 and 1 through 24. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." This is verse 5. "And when the gate was about to be closed at the dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan and was far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men laid down, she came up to them on the roof. This is verse 9. and said to them, "Men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth." Verse 12, Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And then the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us to the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." And then she said, then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. Verse 16, and she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way." Then the men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on them, anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head." Verse 20, "But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us." This is God's words. Please take a seat. Thank you for enduring. I know 24 verses is a lot. So if you look along, Rahab, grace that redeems the unlikely. And I'll go point by point. I'll try to let you know where I am and what word fills in that. So Rahab's faith here. This is Rahab's courageous faith, verses 1 through 7. So Joshua sends out two spies to Jericho. So Joshua is the commander-in-chief. He follows what Moses after him to lead the conquering quest to take the lands that are before them. They've already seen success for that by allowing the Ark of the Covenant to go before them. God has destroyed other lands. And people, right, livestock and everyone in the path, not that he's on a destruction path, but also to clear out so that his people know he is God and only he is God, because all the land is occupied by those who are pagan nations that are not worshiping God, and God is our true God and only him. So Rahab has courageous faith here. These two spies sent to them, they have not been in Jericho. They did not know Rahab, and they did not go to her. The scriptures are clear that they didn't go to her for the services that she provided. They were there to assess and reconnaissance of what they are to do. So there are two spies from Israel that is sent to help us understand, or the for Joshua is this conquering land. Because when Joshua, for Moses, how many spies did Moses send out? 12 for each of the tribes. And they go over the land and they come back whining and crying, just like our sweet babies. Like, they're fearful. These giants are too massive. We cannot do it. They will destroy us. And the two that came back, Joshua and Caleb, and says, we can take the land. Our faith in God is greater than the land and the people who occupy that. So that's the two spies. He didn't send out so that even Israel itself as a camp did not know what was going on. So the reconnaissance, the spying, the thriller of that, it is a mission that seems impossible, but it is God's possible, because look at, he comes, and I'll make sure that I say this several times. Really, did they have that much information to conquer Jericho? They are there for Rahab and her family. The salvation of one family, even in all of her decisions in life, they're there to really rescue her. They didn't know that's part of the plan, and they don't even know how God's going to do this, but they're trusting and believing because she represents this courageous faith. So Jericho is a city. Let's cross over the Jordan, and it's just past the Jordan, right? The west side of that. And Jericho is a city. The evidence of the walls and their remodeling of all that, let me try to, for men who are spatially inclined, and women, you go, all I need to know is, hey, it's a fortified city. I'm good. Let me give some of the details for those who like to know that. So what they've done in all the excavation of that, so Jericho built on a mound, a hill. So you go down off of the mountain and come down. So it's a 22-degree angle with a wall that is 12 feet to 15 feet tall, was several feet thick. Then there's a space in between those walls. The ground continues to slope upward. And then there's another wall 20 to 26 feet high, 6 feet thick. That's the reason it's an impenetrable walls, and Jericho is around that. So 46-foot wall with space wide enough for residents to live inside of it, and was a part of their fortification. So what they had to go, in God's confirmation, that would take God's direct intervention, which we haven't gotten there, to Joshua, and I won't return there, because as we start this season of grace for the unlikely peoples of the gospel, the Old Testament, that's the reason I chose Rahab to look at her life. But there's 7 days. So God, in his destruction that's coming, gives them clear warning that he's come. They've already heard, and all the men are scared of what God can do, even though they don't bow the knee to him. They've seen it. They recognize, right? And she tells them, right, at the risk of her own life, in her walls, right, that I know what God's done. Our men are scared. You will help us to meet all of those needs, right? 7 days. So each march around, each day of around the walls of Jericho, that's a fortress. So to give you a picture of a fortress like this, it's your Walmart, your super Walmart. Inside Walmart, the walls, is 4 to 6 acres. So no wonder you go, gosh, I need a cart to go around the super Walmarts. So that's the complex that it is. And then there's 5 acres of parking lot to do a super Walmart. And so that takes up about 50 to 20 acres of space and land. So that's our super Walmart that's similar to the walls of Jericho, but built differently. So who is this courageous woman of faith, Rahab? She's single. She's a Gentile living in an abject pagan society where you worship Baal, the Baal who sacrifices their babies to be pleased. Sounds familiar? Where we live and the sacrifice of babies to the altar of Baal, but also the Asherah pole, right, which is a sexually oriented woman of an idol. That's what Rahab is under, right? That's the influence. That's their culture within the walls and surrounding areas. So this woman, living in Canaan, realizes, here's what I've seen in the life of your people, and your God is conquering. So this is not fire insurance. She's like, ooh, let me help get on board. Like, she does all the risks to protect her family because your God is the true God that I want to worship. Everybody else is not falling the same way. Her heart's been wooed into the way of what we would call effectual calling. God's going to do the work there in a short period of time, and how they are going to accomplish all of this. That's who Rahab is, living a lifestyle of the prostitute and also in this abject pagan society. So that's what she's under. So these Joshua spies to Jericho, the spies at Rahab's house. Now the king of Jericho, so it's a big enough city that you have your own king. Now, so these two spies are not too good at the reconnaissance, like nobody will recognize us. Well, they wore the right clothing, their language, but also when you go to Rahab's house, that's where the other men would come for their services. So, and everybody's like, we see that. That's who's probably going into Rahab's house. That wasn't their plan, but that's the plan of God to work there. So Rahab hides to protect these spies, the two of them. So we have to deal with the sanctity of truth. God is absolute truth. There's no shadow or turning with him. He is nothing but truth and holiness and righteousness. But in this, in his design to send in two spies who have to be under the cloak of darkness and to go, we're here to spy. But you can't go in there announcing, hey, we're from Israel, we're ready to take you on. You know, they have to lie of their presence to capture what is going on here. The same with Ruth. We're not obligated to tell truth to those who will seek to kill and destroy. We have to do this out of the conditional necessary. It's not just situational ethics. Oh, let's make it clear. This is wartime. God's destruction is coming on this nation right here, this city walls. For the sanctity of truth, all of that, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All of life and all of truth exists in God. But during wartime, how do we handle that? How do we look at that? So Rahab's, it's only an exception of the commandment of thou shalt not lie. During wartimes, the necessity of protecting of life. So it's not compromising. God's not compromising. He's still true to his word. Here's his commandments, but here's how I want you to protect life. So Rahab has courageous faith. And now the grace that redeems the unlikely Rahab, she recalling the sovereign work of God. So here's Rahab's confession. So when we say confession, like we read, we're agreeing with God's holiness. This is who he is. We confess our sins. She's in agreement with who God is and his sovereign work here. Let's read verses 8 through 11. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that all the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And soon as you heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab's courageous faith, and it's a confessional faith. Your God is the true God that I want to follow, but I need to be rescued. Help save us, my family, and all that is going on. Despite my service that I've been a part of and how I've done life, God moves in her heart for her to realize this is who's coming. And the same thing, most of us know the hiding place with Corrie ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, their family in the Netherlands in 1943, hiding Jews in their house of a wall they built so that no one would know that the Jews that they're hiding was there. they would have to tell the lie to the Nazi soldiers. There's no Jews in here. They were not Jewish, but they were part of this protection and hiding them in the walls. But once their parents die, they are taken to the concentration camps along with the Jews. So Betsy and Corey Ten Boom are there inside the camp in another house, in probably a cabin kind of thing. All right, no ventilation, lice, fleas, rats, all that go along with total insanitary means. But they realize, Betsy, the oldest one, she goes, Corey, I know you're hating these fleas, and all of this is disgusting to have women's Bible study. So lady, just picture that, your sweet little homes that turn into an infestation of such little pestilence. She says, the scripture tells us to give thanks in all things. And Corey's like, wait a minute, I gotta give thanks for the lice and fleas? Yes, because once they are rescued out of that, Betsy dies in the concentration camp, but Corey asks a couple of the Nazi soldiers, why did you not come in? Because there was lice and fleas. They were scared of, I don't want that on them. Leave the women, and they were able to have Bible study. Salvation was brought to them in the hiding of who they were in the presentation of the gospel. That's an amazing work, because you protect life even though those who seek to kill, steal, and destroy. How do we do that and honestly be before the Lord? So Rahab, grace that redeems the unlikely. Rahab's courageous faith. Two, the confession of faith. And now Rahab's compassion of faith. So even though she had that lifestyle of prostitution, we don't know if her parents put her into that. That was forced thing. There was lots of women, and she's not the only one there in the Jericho that has this type of lifestyle and service. But she's trying to realize this is where God's coming towards us. This is verses 16 or 12 through 16. So Rahab's compassionate faith. Rahab pleads for the rescue and salvation of her and her family. Verse 12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly, the Hebrew here, kindly, is the hesed that God does for his people. I forever lovingly care for you. The kindness of God in this, in what the Hebrew is saying, the hesed with you. So you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. Then the response of the Israelites in this oath. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us this land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. So they're committing, the spies from Israel, committing to Rahab. This is your assurance, because it's on our heads to rescue you. And how God's going to do that, which they don't know, it's going to be the destruction of the walls at this point. But they're coming, and God knows, and they know that God's going to destroy all of Jericho. But he's gracious and merciful if you follow him. If not, if you're outside of the Ark of the Covenant, right, or the Ark, Noah's Ark, you will be destroyed if you're not inside. And only 8 family members are saved for the destruction of all the earth with the largest flood. But she has an escape plan. So she's thought through this or knows how to do this in an amazing way. Verses 15 through 16, the escape plan for the spies. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall. So she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills. That's the west side. So go to the west hills, okay? And then the pursuers, the soldiers of Jericho, they will be pursuing them. They will go to the east where your camp is, and that's where they're going to be looking for. So she has this whole spy plan worked out for them to protect their lives. You go to the west hills, I will send them to the east before the Jordan. That's where they think you're going to be. So she's got all this worked out. And hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards, you may go your own your way. So Rahab has this courageous faith, confession of faith, compassionate faith for her family. And now Rahab, this means that Rahab's salvation is coming by the scarlet cord. Rahab's covenant faith. My commitment to knowing God and serving Him and my family is demonstrated by the scarlet cord. So when you have this cord, so her flax seed, which is when she dries out the stalks, you could make into a cord, and she dyes it, right, with the red dye of the flax seed and how all that works out. So she might have already been starting to come out of that lifestyle and do more industrial way to earn for their family. But to let them down by the rope, you know, how she does that, has she done it before? Because she has to tie into something to let down a 150-pound man, 200-pound man, whatever they are, the two spies, by the red cord. And you're going to leave this red cord in the window. What does the blood assurance look like for them? What do they know? What has she already responded to? What happened in Egypt, right? Because they're going to, the last plague, the angel of death, is going to go over all the land of Egypt. You've been in slavery for 400 years. But if you take the blood of the lamb and put it on the headpost of the door, as well as the post of the doorway, the blood of the lamb will protect you from the angel of death. It will not kill the firstborn of anyone that has that. And only the people that are Hebrew, Israel, right, do the protection, because by the power of the blood, they're saved and protected. It's that same connection to the power of salvation of the cord for Rahab. What a gift. The blood of Christ, right, covers us. The power of the blood, it saves us, it cleanses us. That's what saves the men. It's what's going to save her. Leave this example in your window. Don't put it aside and go, I'll get to that. Because it's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 to 7 days that Israel will be crossing over the Jordan, being led by the Ark of the Covenant, by the priest. The departure of that water will open up just like he did the Red Sea. It's not as large as the Red Sea, but he's coming. So Rahab's salvation is dependent upon that. In verse 17 of this, the men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of ours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who's with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head." Verse 20, "But if you tell her this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And then she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. So Rahab, this protection of the scarlet cord, the blood of Christ that's coming, that does the same thing for us on the cross, and it's forever as we trust in the God who can save, will save, and he's saving Rahab. Even though her destructive life and the culture she's lived in, look at God saving the unlikely. So any of us that have this kind of struggle in our life, and that most of you go, "I ain't never done any of that stuff." But we do. We have an adulterous heart. We have affairs of the heart. We have adultery, which we follow in many ways. It's not just a lifestyle here. But what helps us understand, even for us in America, there is a ministry called Scarlet Hope that's strategically placed and started in different cities, especially like Las Vegas, New York. that of women that are still caught up in the industry of pornography, in the gentlemen's club, and all that that goes along with that. Those who are captured and forced into that type of lifestyle, they bring hope, the scarlet hope, to the women. And all they're doing, they've reached 70,000 folks, ladies, by just going to these places, the women ministering to women. There's more hope than this lifestyle you have. Let us help you. There's more dignity to who you are and not degrading yourself for the pleasures of others. How do we help you? And it starts with a warm food, right? A supper or a lunch for them as they minister to these ladies and helping them understand there's something greater in the person of Jesus Christ just by a meal. So these are strategically placed so that they are ministering to women in such a way. That's an amazing work, and how many that they're reaching already. So grateful for that. All of us won't be able to do that. I don't think, yeah, I'm pretty sure Lynchburg doesn't have a gentleman's club. Roanoke is getting their gentleman's club back. That's sad. And then many other cities around, the larger cities. So that lifestyle and the destruction of that. So Rahab, the grace that's unlikely, Rahab's courageous faith, Rahab's confession of faith, Rahab's compassion of faith, Rahab's covenant of faith, and lastly, Rahab's comforting faith. So mission impossible is going to be accomplished. They see what's going to happen, saving faith, proclaiming the rescue soon, the impact of grace on her. So it's comforting. This is going to happen. We are assured of this because we've seen the work of God before. He's going to bring the destruction to Jericho. He will take down these walls. So many of us go, how will we ever overcome my past to the present? Life is changed by the transforming grace of Jesus, the mercy of God, the very wording of your church, which is biblical in helping rescue us, all of us. So Lord, help us in the comforting faith of what he's going to do. You already read Hebrews 11. Looking at that, let me move to James chapter 2. So James, the brother of Jesus, we are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, faith alone, right? It's not by your works that any man could boast. But James is saying, now you're going to hear the words of justification, the works of justification. Just like Abraham is called to faith and is credited to him by righteousness, not by his works, but by his faith. Rahab, by her faith, is going to be saved, justified, declared righteous. But it's also, in addition to that, it's not just faith alone, it's faith and works alone. This shows and demonstrates your faith in the God of all gods, right? So faith in action, James chapter 2, 21 through 25. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? So you're not saved by faith, action and works, but it's a result of your faith is what James is saying. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that the person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Verse 25 of James 2. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Look at the work that God's done in Rahab's life to rescue her, bring salvation to her. The walls haven't fallen down yet, but this is the plan. But look at the faith as the unlikely source of that, the gospel of grace here, her genealogy. Then you go back to Matthew chapter 1. Salmon marries Rahab when she's back into Israelite camp and saved there and protected. New life, new worship, her family, and all that. So Salmon marries Rahab. They have the son Boaz. Boaz marries Ruth and have the son Obed. Obed, we don't know his wife, has Jesse. Jesse and his wife had the son David. David the king. Then all this is worked out in the rest of the genealogy from Rahab's faith and what she's done to seeing Jesus in the genealogy of that. That's an amazing work for a woman that was caught up in that lifestyle. God saves and does a work in their life in an amazing way. Blessings upon us is the word of God empowers us to understand that he does transform us by his grace and faith alone for his glory. That's what we trust in. So let me pray. Lord God, we thank you that you would do the works in Rahab's life. You do the work in our life. To that we give you praise and honor and glory that you're transforming us from a lifestyle of detriment, lifestyle that we've been called out of, into the righteousness of Christ. Lord, apply that to our hearts, our lifestyle. We give thanks and praise unto you and thank you for the preaching of your word to empower your people to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.